about ACLU's work defending our civil liberties, go to myaclu.org.
This is WUSB 90.1 FM in Stony Brook and W297BM 107.3 FM in Stony Brook.
Good evening. I'll be reading a brief statement tonight. I will not be taking questions. Several years ago, in 2023, on these airwaves, I declared that winter at the time was insufficient and that I felt I was owed a second winter due to the lack of snow and cold weather at that time. It's been 3 years and things have changed dramatically. This season we have had more than one instance of snow before the new year, a major snowstorm followed by a cold freeze that resulted in snow on the ground for close to a month, and now this week's major blizzard, which has left upwards of 2 additional feet of snow on the ground, closing roads, airports, and schools, causing all manner of chaos. With all this in mind, I am now issuing a retraction of my demand of 2023 and stating for the record that I am no longer owed an additional winter and that I consider the matter to be closed. I hope that we can all move on. Thank you very much. And live from Stony Brook, it's Off the Wall. No, no, it's too late. Go away. You missed your cue. All the commotion here. Oh, sorry about the dead air. We turned on the wrong thing. That happens with all the craziness going on. It's off the wall. Yes, and we've earned the name tonight. It's just after 6 o'clock. This is Emmanuel, and Kyle's over there.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
A little frazzled. You know, a lot going on, and boy, we got hit hard. best case scenario for me, something that I've been looking forward to for ages. But yes, I'm done. You know, I'm cool. It's everything's fine. I am happy. Winter is good, and we've finally gotten our respect back.
Oh, that's great to hear. Yeah, I'm thinking all kinds of different things. But yeah, weather obviously. It is something to adjust to, and boy, have we all adjusted. It feels like a regular, normal thing. And, yeah, once the snow is in a pile, then you just avoid the pile.
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
just carry on with your life.
It's yeah, it's amazing how quickly we get used to it. It really is. You know, back in, you know, the beginning of the winter, when you first get your snow flurry, everybody is freaking out, thinking that there's going to be all kinds of mayhem. And now, you know, 2 feet or more. Yeah, I love the forecast. You know, 18 to 24 inches or more. So the sky is the limit. And, yeah, you know, we've almost reached the sky. The piles of snow, we were able to get out and drive around a little bit. The piles of snow are simply phenomenal. And it's a sight to behold. If you've not actually gone out yet and explored it, I recommend you do. It's no longer dangerous. The winds have died down. It's just a lot of snow, and you don't get to see this very often. So this is what I'm talking about. This is what it's all. This is why I was so upset years ago. I regret the things I said. I regret the demands I made. But I felt, you know, I had to stand up. I had to say something. Nobody else was.
So now, as I suspected, the temperatures seem like they're pretty cool, and that has a lot to do with there being a lot of snow on the ground. It was forecast to be warmer, but I think you just have to basically adjust, and I'm going to be watching that weather because we don't have nearly the cold temperatures we had after the last large storm, but there still could be areas prone to icing or that had been melting and they're icy under some of this accumulation. So everyone just be mindful when you're stepping in certain areas and clear as much as you can. It's just easier for your own life to do different things. I had a lot of fun doing that, but you definitely want to stay hydrated if you're out doing some sort of shoveling or clearing, but it's pretty much normal. I mean, yeah, that was an incredible declaration, and I think it's still somewhat early. You think we could get another whole storm?
Absolutely.
I can't help but wonder. You seem to be really. I mean, you said you might have to clear the whole hour for this.
Okay, well, you saw me standing on the snowbank earlier downtown. I got a crowd too because I was just trying to appreciate or share my appreciation to the gods above.
Well, I've never seen someone hold their arms up like that, like straight up like that. Wow.
Yeah, that's where the snow comes from.
Speaking, yeah,
you have to do that. And yeah, I did lose my balance once, but just once. And you know, I think I've got some converts now that will be praying for more snow because you know it's the purest form of weather, I think, just to have this this just whiteness over everything. You know, just it's so peaceful and tranquil, especially at night when it's just coming down and covering everything. Yeah. So, yeah, we can do it two, maybe even three more times if, you know, if we believe. But, you know, like I said, I'm good. We're even now. I'm no longer out of winter. Yeah, I was very disappointed when we were over in Europe earlier, and there was no snow in places like Iceland and Finland, and there was snow back here that we were missing. So I was kind of really getting upset. But then coming back here, we got the big storm. Followed by the deep freeze, and a deep freeze is also important too to experience because you know you kind of have to test yourself, and that made the snow last for over 3 weeks, and you couldn't clear paths. You know, we were walking around and realizing, hey, we're walking in the street. There's no sidewalk that has been shoveled because it's so frozen that it's impossible to shovel the sidewalk. This was everywhere. Of course, Mondani is getting all the blame from the Republicans, saying that, oh my God, look at the disaster. It's snow. It's ice. Everybody is experiencing the same thing. It's not because he's, you know, left of center that this is happening. It's because that is how nature works. And even now they're complaining. They're complaining that, oh my God, how could you send our kids to school only a day after they didn't go to school? And if you hadn't done that, they would be complaining that, oh my God, the kids are still here and we can't go to work, no matter what. And especially from Staten Island, people are going to always complain no matter what he does. But I think everybody is doing as well as they can. Democrat, Republican, whoever is running, whatever. They are dealing with this dramatic form of nature, which is, you know, a great testament, I think.
Yeah, the messaging has been really good, and people are taking care of themselves, taking care of one another as best they can. We did notice a lot of, like, traffic chaos. I don't know if it's just the normal frenzy of driving, but maybe because so many people were out running errands before the storm, we noticed a lot of emergency services needing to help people, a lot of broken down cars before anything really even hit.
Before the first flake even started to fall, yeah. People were getting into accidents.
Now, we did a lot of preparation and provisioning, even in the first storm. Can I tell them what we got?
Yeah, go ahead.
We bought our first pair of snowshoes.
We did. Actually, that was for the last storm. We were able to find it at this
it's like a discount place.
Weird-ass discount store, and it was about a third the price of snowshoes in other places. And good luck finding snowshoes in other places. It was really kind of difficult.
Well, it came with it was like a kit, so it came with like poles and stuff. It's not that great, you know, it's like, it's an average, I mean, they're good snowshoes.
I'm not
going
to rank the quality of snowshoes. I've got two snowshoes, and it's really cool to have that and to walk around.
Yeah, we didn't have them before.
I only did it once, though.
We only did the test run. I think we have to, like, plan a route and do, like, in like a big loop or something somewhere. But this snow is pretty packable. It's heavier, as people notice. So people are already talking about different types of snow, which is kind of cool to hear.
This is definitely a different type of snow than the last snow we got.
It is.
Yeah.
So,
and the snow we get tonight, yes, we're getting snow tonight, is going to be different too. It's not going to be very much, so don't panic, but, you know, a little bit.
Absolutely. So just do the things you got to do, and there's some things that are dual use. You know, you get all your winter gear, you get your shovels and stuff. But we figured that it would be fun to be able to walk around, but also if you need to walk around in heavy snow, we'd have a good pair of footwear for that kind of weather. And I remember years and years ago, really, really deep snow that then would, as it does around here, melt fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready in that regard as far as getting around, even if it gets deeper and deeper. But maybe this is the last of it, so we'll at least have some equipment for the next time around. But I'm really impressed. People do sort of all wait their turn, you know, getting supplies, and a lot of places were wiped out. We were going in different places. So, I mean, we got caught up in some of the errand running too, but it's only better when you might be cut off a little bit.
It was really calm, I think, in all the stores. It went
really
to a few
was.
Different grocery stores, just looking for various things. No particular panic or rush. And everybody there was in a good mood. Everybody was just, you know, getting what they could get. I didn't see any major shortages of things. I think it brings out the best in us. I really do. And when you think about it, it's Tuesday. The blizzard was yesterday, and we're able to go out now. So I don't know why we got all this food and supplies for that'll last us a couple of weeks. It's, you know, at most we're stuck inside for 2 days at the most, and eventually somebody shovels a way out, and you're able to tentatively make your way into town.
Well, and to that end, I'm not mad at the message, like the messaging, the announcements, the forecasting, that all still stands. Just people need to have adjusted for these kind of conditions, and you can go about your life just, you know, taking extra care, like I talked about, looking out for ice and things, in every kind of ice, because ice is just a bad situation. So, yeah, you just need to take extra supplies and things with you just in case you spot ice out in the cold.
Wait, which ice are we talking about?
Yeah, right? And you know, if you need to
They had a raid on Sunday. While everybody was preparing for the storm, they were out grabbing people. Can you believe that? They didn't do anything yesterday, at least in the area that I'm aware of. Or today, I don't think, or maybe the app is just down because of the snow. I don't know. But, you got to be careful of all forms of ice. I don't think there's any kind of ice that is not dangerous.
Absolutely. And send messages, you know, let loved ones know that, you know, you saw ice, but you know, your home's safe and you didn't slip or fall to any kind of slippery situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there is just an incredible amount you can do to be ready for the next winter event, the next blast of cold air and snow accumulation. And everybody's set. Everybody's ready to go. It seems like the roads are mostly in good shape. I know that's probably not true for everyone, but
Surprising places, they aren't.
you
expect,
yeah.
Okay, this is a main road. It's going to be fine. Wow, here's 6 inches of snow just on the ground for some reason. I guess it blew there. And then the tiny roads are just fine sometimes, not always. It's surprising. You got to be careful. If you're out there driving, be careful. The roads are a little bit narrower now because, the shovelers didn't get, you know, all the way to the curb or to the sidewalks. If you find yourself coming up, against somebody who's taking up too much of the road, you have to be really, really careful. Slow down. But I think people are being, you know, somewhat cautious.
Yeah, and if you're out there, you can talk to your neighbors. You can also look out for equipment.
Can meet your neighbors for the first time.
Absolutely, but somebody might have a tool or a way they're already coming with some removal equipment, and you can schedule when you're going to be working on it. You know, connect the various pathways, and people will help out. And that's the thing to do is just see what's going on, make sure that things are clear.
I've never had a snowblower. I've never used a snowblower. I mean, you know, obviously that's what people use these days. When I was a kid, everybody just shoveled. You know, you go around and make money as a kid shoveling snow. Do kids do that anymore? Do they do lawn mowing or? I don't know. I don't see what they're doing, but
a lot of people are helping. They're charging a rate to do clearing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do need help, I'm sure there's folks to hire in your neighborhood. But it's really it's really important to be clear and stand away from heavy equipment. If somebody's using one of these powered snow removal devices, you just want to like give an extra bit of room.
Yeah.
A lot of these trucks are a lot wider if they're coming from an area that they were clearing snow.
The things that do a lot of cutting and sucking and disposing, don't get near, you know, because that's hazardous to humans and any kind of creature.
Yeah. So, like, if somebody's coming through with something, just step back, get away from it while they do a certain area, and then you can resume your shoveling and stuff like that. And just keep your eyes and ears peeled because a lot of people are out there with good intentions doing stuff. You don't want to get hurt in the process of making things a little bit safer and more accessible.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we did try to get a snowplow. Not snowplow, snowblower.
Well, we looked at. We were
something
curious.
Happened. What kept us from doing that? We found one that
was
fairly cheap. What? Go ahead.
No, I'm interrupting. Go ahead.
No, ridiculously what?
Just a ridiculous amount of money for some of this equipment.
Well,
I mean,
one was cheap. One was fairly cheap. I'm willing to pay this amount.
It was like special order or something. You know, you look and sites don't actually stock a certain thing, so you got to wait weeks.
These are these huge stores that, you know, you could fit a stadium in, and they don't have what they sell. They have to order it from someplace else. What I want to know is, where is that someplace else? I'll go there. I'll go there and get all the things that they don't have in the huge store that's local. You know, so, yeah, here's a snowblower, and it's a decent price, and I can get it by March. No. Well, actually, March is next week, but still, that's too late. and they have snowblowers, but the ones they have are 10 times the price for some reason. I don't know. I don't get it. I'm not sure what makes one better than the other because they're all doing the same thing. I'm sure there's all kinds of studies and comparisons. So, no, we didn't get one. In fact, we didn't even get a snow shovel because they were all gone, too. I don't know why it is that people have to buy snow shovels every year. I guess ours is a little cracked. Do they all get cracked and then everybody has to buy a new one every time there's a storm? Because, boy, they sell out fast.
Wow, yeah, that's true. It's a little bit damaged, but it's still usable. And it occurred to us that we should maybe get a spare, have it in the garage at the ready if we needed to do that amount of shoveling at once and try to clear some place, like if it was really coming down or something, but also just be ready to give that shovel up. But it's lasted through quite a bit and was really useful even in this particular blizzard, I guess, is what you'd call it.
This was a blizzard for sure.
I would say. I keep calling it a storm, but it was a blizzard.
It's both. It's a storm and a blizzard.
Really, really windy, and there's some really big snowdrifts around us.
Our shovel is buried in one of those snowdrifts.
Yeah, it's somewhere. I think I see the handle.
In the spring, we'll get it.
Yes. Well, we also had some other shovels. Mm-hmm.
Garden shovels. They work, too.
Absolutely. Those are useful for iced over stuff. And also, we have a little bit of that snow melt that I think is most useful, particularly for stairs and stuff that might be slippery. Just get those covered. Get it ready because it will get colder tonight. So,
is this an official weather forecast?
I'm prepared. Yeah. Okay. No, I just want to be, done with it. But
excuse me, what do you mean done with it?
Well, done with the preparations, to be ready for the next blizzard,
Okay, because winter's another month, you know that, right?
Yeah,
right.
So like getting my steps clear, that I just want to be able to get in and out and stuff like that, mm-hmm. get on with my life. But if there's more, I guess I'll just do the same thing over again.
It'll be different. It'll be unique.
It'll be different.
Other level of fun.
Different snow.
Different snow.
That would be
kind
cool.
Of snow.
Three layers of snow.
Yeah.
Almost all melted.
We still have that other layer of ice beneath this snow.
Yeah, it's down there.
So when this snow melts, you're going to see, oh, there's that snow again. It's back.
So much snow.
Yeah. I love it. It's amazing. All right. Anyway, so that's our weather forecast or weather section of the show. But we have something weather-related. This is the whole, blame Mondani for everything. He's being blamed now for... Oh, look at this. I knocked my microphone clear over.
Gently.
Is that right? Okay.
Right,
I'm sorry. I was gesturing, and I just knocked that over.
Do you want me to...
No, it's fine. It's fine, as long as you
room?
Can still hear me.
I hear you.
So Mondani is pretty much getting into the spirit of the thing, like, true New Yorkers do. He's being criticized for making kids go to school in the last storm. He's being criticized for giving kids a day off in this storm. Now he's being criticized for saying that it's okay to throw a snowball at him if people are upset. Because apparently that led to somebody throwing a snowball at cops. And that is something that is just not tolerable, apparently. Two cops are recovering at home today after they were injured during a snowball fight. Targeted the... I've been in so many snowball fights. I've never gotten injured. I mean, these are cops, aren't they? They wear all that stuff, and they're supposed to be rugged. But I don't know. A law enforcement source said the officers were struck in the head and face by snowballs and ice. Okay, well, ice is not snowballs. If someone's throwing ice, that's like throwing a rock. That's different. All right? But let's not... the headline here says snowball attack. Well, snowballs are not the same. You can put ice in snowballs. It's not a snowball then. It's a much harder weapon. So if that's what you're talking about, then say that. But you can't say that throwing snowballs is something that you need to lock people up over. Anyway, both officers who are not identified were among police that responded to 911 reports of an unruly group in Washington Square Park late in the day Monday. The group was taking part in a snowball fight that had been advertised on social media and whose participants then targeted the responding officers. Okay, here's a little bit of advice to NYPD. If you are responding to a snowball fight and you arrive at the snowball fight, are you really surprised when there are snowballs? And if you are surprised by the fact that snowballs are being thrown in a reported snowball fight that has been promoted, maybe go into the situation wearing some protection so that you don't get hit in the head with a snowball, if that is something that you wish not to happen. Or maybe just back off and let people have a snowball fight, as has been going on since, what is it, the 18th? When was the first snowball fight? 1700s? Someone has to go to Wikipedia and figure this out. People didn't realize they could throw snowballs for a long time.
I think this goes back to prehistory.
Really? You think so?
Ancient times, yeah.
Wikipedia doesn't cover that.
No, I don't even know if there's a recorded record of it.
Okay, well, so in a statement, New York City Mondani said he had viewed videos of the attack. One thing he said that's not quoted in this article was, you know, I looked at the snowball fight and it looked like a snowball fight, which is definitely true. But he also said officers, like all city employees, have been out in an historic blizzard, keeping New Yorkers safe and cars moving. Treat them with respect. If anyone's catching a snowball, it's me. You know, and that isn't good enough for these people that just want to critique him for everything. The attack on the officers, it's not really an attack. It's a snowball fight, for God's sake. Do you live in New York or not? You know, have you grown up here? Maybe not. Maybe they're from the deep south or something. I don't know. The attack on the officers drew an angry response from NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch, who called on the Manhattan District Attorney to prosecute the assailants. I want to be very clear, the behavior depicted is disgraceful and is criminal. Our detectives are investigating this matter. Okay, so let me just be clear here. If I'm walking down the street and I get beamed by a snowball, can I have that person arrested? Can I call the cops? Will they take it seriously? Because I want to know. Will they respond and say, this is disgraceful and it is criminal? Will they say that about me? Will your detectives investigate that matter? If so, then we live in a different society than I thought we did. Police Benevolent Association President Patrick Henry, you know, they always have the biggest lunatics heading the Police Benevolent Association. I don't know how they get them, but they find them. He said the incident was another example of the way officers are being targeted by physical attacks. Okay, list the others, please. This is the environment that NYC police officers are up against. All right. Scott Monroe, head of the Detectives Endowment Association. Yeah, that's the other DEA. He said the attackers have to be sought out for prosecution. Yeah. Make this your priority. That's the important thing. It is broken windows again if this is allowed to happen. And that's a veiled reference to the broken window policy, which cops use to basically grab people that they wouldn't be able to grab ordinarily. Broken window, something suspicious. Okay, let's search you and throw you in detention for a while. It's really indicative of how they live in a fantasy land. You know, this is a reality. People have snowball fights when it snows. And cops should not be treated any differently than regular people, because they are people too. And they need to realize that. They need to realize they're human beings. You know, usually that's a good thing when you say that about somebody. So sensitive. So incredibly sensitive. Okay, we have something else coming up. I think you know what that is. It's the State of the Union tonight. Yeah, it's tonight. It seems to be awfully late in the year. I thought it was in January, but no, it's in late February. And I don't know, Kai, what do you think is going to happen tonight? This is, you know, the first one last year was, actually, I don't know if that was considered State of the Union, because when you have a new president or a president beginning a new term, they don't always call it that. It's just some kind of, I don't know what they call it, but it's not the same thing. This year, though, it's a whole year of things that have happened. What do you think will happen?
Well, it'll be probably a listing of just endless sorts of perceived accomplishment, I'm sure, that will itself devolve into some sort of name-calling and rambling it'll either be very, very quick, or it will go on and on and on and be relentless.
Right there on the floor.
Of course, there's a lot of standing up and sitting down. I don't know, maybe special guests, right? I guess Charlie Kirk's, wife or something. You know, it'll be like a lot of things that went on in the year that'll be probably used for political purposes, taking tragedy in Minneapolis or whatever it is, those will be sort of used to leverage a certain attitude about that topic or about that kind of reaction, whatever was done in the light of it or not done. I think that'll be like sort of capitalized on to put advance his sort of agenda.
So I kind of think. You think maybe it'll be kind of a contest between the ultra right wing commentator who got murdered versus the protesters in Minneapolis, St. Paul who got murdered, and to see which one gets more leverage.
Yeah, because that's the stuff that's really been occurring alongside of the policy is that on the streets things have been, there's been various impacts to all of this in society. So that's what people identify with, and for sure, yeah, I think that it could be a sort of false comparisons, or just like comparing those things, or other sorts of achievement or happenstance that can be distorted or sort of twisted to certain ends. I just know that's the kind of stuff. I'll disagree with it. I mean, that maybe other people buy it, but stuff like that.
What do you want to see happen tonight? I'll tell you what I want to see. I want to see disruption. I want to see people get angry. Last year was ridiculous. Do you remember they were holding up the little ping pong paddles with words saying this is wrong or something ridiculously just so mild and polite? I mean, come on, people. What they did when the Democrats were in power was far more disruptive, and it resonated far more greatly with their supporters than these mild little pushbacks. No, don't just wear white. Don't just turn your back. Make noise. Start a chant. Do something. You don't think that's a good way to do it?
No, I think that's all great. I mean, it's all stuff I want to see. But it's actually beside the point in answering your question. Like what I want to see is entirely different than that. I'd want to see a leader establishing a sort of in extension of what Biden had been talking about during the end of his term, which was a constant theme, which is unity versus fomenting disunity. What I want to see is an exciting policy platform that doesn't divide, that isn't all different things that are cast as the fault of the opposition party, right? I think it's something hopeful, something much more joyous than angry and fearful. And that stuff, like with immigration and these sorts of crackdowns, aren't the held up in the way that I think deserve healthy debate. They're I think unfortunately just casualties of the rhetoric itself. So I just think what people do in opposition, yeah, the reaction, I think that's different. So I'm being like kind of specific about
But you're being that. Idealistic and yeah. saying this is what the State of the Union should be, and I totally agree.
No
it should be like
to.
That, but I think you know damn well it's not going to be like that tonight.
Right. Under the circumstances, yeah, I think certain things should be booed.
Mm-hmm.
I think certain people, even loyalists in his party, should probably not rise if they don't feel... certain policies that are mentioned.
I don't think not rising is enough, you know. I think this silent, peaceful protest.
Well, at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But and what the Democrats do, I don't know if signs are going to help. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe just sitting there idly. And yeah, I think there will probably be people that just can't stomach that level of, like, tolerance for so many really egregious policy moves and actions.
Didn't some guy accuse Obama of lying on his very first address, I think in 2009?
Said, you lie.
Yeah, and that was, you know, the first time he had given an address to joint members of Congress. So, you know, to come out of the gate with that kind of passion right away, I'm not saying that's something to aspire to. I'm just saying, look at what the other side does. Don't feel guilty about treating them with the disrespect they treat you. They've earned a lot more disrespect. People have to remember the horrible things that are going on. The way people are being treated, hunted down like animals, you know, the drastic cuts to all kinds of essentials from healthcare to education, pollution, the EPA, thanks to Lee Zeldin, locally produced. The EPA is no longer the EPA. Basically, these people are going in and destroying federal institutions. People will die because of this. People will suffer the effects of air pollution and water pollution, you name it. They are embracing this. It, you know, it is like having a terrorist attack on this country because the result is the same. You have a lot of people feeling the effects for generations. So, you know, just sitting and wearing a particular color or holding a sign, they should not have a moment's peace. And the State of the Union, I would include with that. You know, other countries, they're quite vocal. They're quite physical sometimes. It looks unpleasant. But, you know, is any of what we're talking about pleasant? You need to show your passion sometimes. This is something the Democrats seem to be afraid of, is passion. You know, I want to see more of that. I want to see more people getting in the faces of those who are destroying what this country's potential had been.
Yeah, I definitely think chance cheering and all that should be drowning out a lot of it. And I hope, you know, you can hear it from inside. But it's up to people. It's up to citizens that... they'd want to register that.
Well, I know Hakeem Jeffries is saying either, you know, show up and be respectful or don't show up. And there is going to be a rally outside, so...
Hopefully it's loud.
People can go to that, but, you know, if you show up, no, you don't have to be respectful because respect is earned. And you know, this administration has not earned respect. They have earned contempt. They have shown contempt. They deserve to be treated the way... Yeah, you know, that's how you address a situation. We will treat you the way you have treated us. They will say, how dare you? What a horrible thing to say. Yeah, exactly. Because you're treating us like crap, and you will be treated exactly the same way. Maybe a little worse, because, you know, we've got more on our side.
Because you're wasting our damn time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, think of all the time that's wasted.
It's opportunity cost, fool.
This would be such a happy show normally. But we have to waste our time with this, you know? Since 2016. I want my time back. Of course, if you don't want to watch the State of the Union, which we do encourage you to do, our friend Rob T. Firefly from the other radio show has said that Turner Classic Movies is playing the 1944 film Gaslight during tonight's State of the Union address. Okay, well, good on them for at least making a statement. I don't know what the 1944 film Gaslight is all about exactly, but does it have to do with politics, or is it about a gasoline-powered light. I don't know. I'm not an expert on this, but sure. It's even if it's just the word, that's cool. And if it's a film that has to do with the kinds of things we're talking about, all the better.
Yeah, certainly. And I'm ready. I have some snacks. Might make some popcorn. Definitely something.
Oh, that's why you were talking about popcorn. We're getting popcorn. Okay, yeah.
You can throw popcorn at the TV screen.
Well, it depends how close you're sitting to it. It won't make it most of the.
Yeah, but it's not going to like damage it.
No, that's true.
But you can definitely launch it. You know.
Well, you know, you need a good drinking game for those of you who indulge. And I'm not sure what would be physically dangerous if you say, okay, drink every time Trump says this. Or something that might be unusual. Maybe drink every time the Democrats do something that we can get behind and say, yeah, that might be teetotaler's game for tonight.
Every time he talks about money, how much money they made. Like, you know, I'm thinking like the Board of Peace and like the pay for citizenship thing. And like, you know, every time it's like some cash grab of his, you know?
There's just so much. There is just so much. How long do you think it'll last? I'm betting an hour and 17 minutes. That's my bet.
I'll go 1 hour, 28 minutes.
That's not too far from my guess, but okay.
Fine. I'll go...
No, that's
47 minutes. I'm just...
Below an hour? You think he can shut up?
Well, do you want it to be... I mean,
no, I don't want any of this. I don't want any of this.
Are we really playing?
Kyle, yeah, right. This is the reality of what we're going through, so we have to just make the best of it. We have a message from Donald Trump that has actually just come in. This is Donald J. Trump, your favorite president. Does he know what... Okay. I have to wonder, does he realize how absurd he is, or how absurd he's acting? Tonight marks my first State of the Union address of my second term. See, I was right. It's the first State of the Union address. Last year was something else. And I truly wouldn't be here without you. Oh, don't say that to me. You stood with me through it all. And this is all caps coming up. The impeachment hoaxes. No, those were impeachments. They were real. They happened. The never-ending court cases. Well, unfortunately, they've ended for now. All the times they tried to put me in jail. Well, yeah. I can't thank you enough. You have been the backbone of the movement, this movement. But unfortunately, the fight isn't over. Tonight, the Democrats plan on protesting, all caps, my State of the Union address. They'll do anything, all caps, to discredit what we've all worked for. Oh, if only they do anything. If only. They're holding a second address and plan to lie, all caps, about everything in my administration. Yes, they're planning the lies right now. There's a whole list of lies. Because they just can't find any truth that you could be criticized about. So, yeah, it's got to be lies. Continuing, the sad truth is, they don't care about making America great again. They want me impeached. And they're not hiding it. Did you think they would be hiding it? Did you think they would be saying, don't let anybody know that we want Trump impeached? And don't let anybody know that this whole make America great again thing is nonsense and a fraud. Just don't tell anybody. We wouldn't want that to get out. Continuing, and if they succeed tonight, the calls for my impeachment will only get louder. Democrats, are you listening? Are you listening to the great leader? If you succeed tonight, the calls for his impeachment will only get louder. So take his advice. Succeed, please. Continuing, so before they try to ruin, all caps, our State of the Union, I need to know one last time if you'll stand by my side. Just remember, they're not after me. They're after you, all caps. I'm just standing in the way. And what follows after that is all kinds of levels that you can pledge money for. It's non-tax deductible because this is just another cash grab. And he's basically making hand over fist money every time he does something
like
this.
Well, is he also not allowed to have like You know what? Never mind.
It doesn't matter what he's not allowed to have. Look,
he just wants money to prevent what him being attempted to be at peace again. This is like his legal fund.
The Supreme Court, which now he no longer capitalizes the Supreme Court. That's his show of disrespect. He's big into capitalization and not understanding how it works. But no, he doesn't capitalize Supreme Court lowercase because of what they did last week, which is basically saying that his tariffs are illegal, which, you know, we all knew. But it's good to see a 6-3 decision on the side of sanity for once. You do know who his lapdogs are. That would be Alito, Kavanaugh, and Thomas, right? Do I have it right? Those are the three.
Yeah.
They will vote for anything he does, apparently. But everybody else showed a degree of sense saying, no, you can't just do that without the support of Congress. Which, you know, by the way, when this all started, he might have actually had the support of Congress to get away with this. And now, you know, a bunch of Republicans are saying, oh, this isn't such a good idea. It's not good for, you know, me. It's not good for America, but me primarily. And they're not necessarily a guarantee anymore. So, yeah, the Supreme Court has kind of, you know, thrown a monkey wrench into everything. But, you know, his respect for the law is unprecedented. He simply said, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. Screw the Supreme Court. I'll find a different way of imposing tariffs. And he did the next day. I don't know if this is going to stand up. If it does, then we're really kind of pathetic. But what I do think is going to happen is he's going to say something truly insulting and mocking directly to the Supreme Court, who attend the State of the Union addresses in the front row. And that is going to be unprecedented, I think. I would not want to be one of the people. Well, no, I would want to be one of the people who voted against him. But, I would be cautious as to what he's going to do. And it's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be embarrassing for everybody because it is just so beneath all the offices that have been denigrated. But that is the world we're in right now.
Yeah, they might, like, you know, step up a little, maybe walk out. Or,
you think they might walk out? That
or
would be,
pull him to the side, you
that
know.
That would be what, on stage?
Yeah, just grab him by the lapels, you know. Get in real close, you know.
Can you imagine the Supreme Court started like, chanting against him?
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen, I know, but wow. I think this is an opportunity to see how unhinged he really is. If he moves from the script. I think the thing is already printed. Journalists are able to read it. But, you know, he has a tendency of moving away from the script.
Do you think he'll fall asleep?
I don't think he's going to fall asleep. No. I think he's going to be in rare form.
Just really energized.
I think a number of us are going to want to be asleep, but no. It's real. And I encourage people to pay attention because, you know, not paying attention is a surefire way for things to happen without you knowing about it.
Okay. How many times he says radical left?
Okay. Or woke.
You drink. Yeah, radical left Democrats. That's the same word I would say that's like been turned into one word.
He declared a holiday or a special day for victims of people who were killed by his words illegals. So basically, he thinks that people who are killed by a particular class of people should be treated differently than people who are killed by anyone else. And just think about that with respect to world history and how certain groups are targeted for particular hatred and victimization. You know, there are people in any group who are bad people who will do bad things. But to only focus on those people and make it seem as if everybody who's part of that group is also bad, that is the ingredient you need for true hatred and all kinds of oppression. And if you think you're safe from it, boy, you are going to be learning a lot in the weeks, years, however long we have in this hellhole. It's going to be quite a learning experience. So there's this new story, and we only have a couple of minutes, so I'm going to get to it really quickly. But Democrats on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee are investigating whether the Justice Department purposefully withheld materials in its release of the Jeffrey Epstein files that included sexual assault allegations against Trump. Representative Robert Garcia, the ranking member of the panel, said in a statement today that such an act by DOJ would violate the law Congress passed in November, which required the administration to publicly release all files in its possession related to the federal case against Epstein, a convicted sex offender. Garcia also said it would run afoul of the subpoenas the Oversight Committee separately transmitted to the DOJ last summer as part of its own Epstein investigation. For the last few weeks, Oversight Democrats have been investigating the FBI's handling of allegations from 2019 of sexual assault on a minor made against President Donald Trump by a survivor. Oversight Democrats can confirm that the DOJ appears to have illegally withheld FBI interviews with this survivor who accused President Trump of heinous crimes. This is quite a story. This is really a major deal. One of these files that has gone missing includes an allegation from a redacted individual that Trump sexually assaulted a minor. The accusation appears in a slide deck presentation featuring a list of powerful men who had been at one point connected to Epstein, including Trump. In that slide deck, a person whose name has been redacted but was estimated to be between 13 and 15 years old at the time of the alleged incident, sometime in the 1980s, accuses Trump of forcing her head down, I'm not going to read the rest, but and reacting violently when she resisted. An investigative report by NPR, published today, found that DOJ withheld what appears to be more than 50 pages of FBI interviews and notes from conversations with a woman who accused Trump of sexual abuse decades ago when she was a minor. The report also notes that DOJ removed some documents from the public database where accusations against Jeffrey Epstein also mentioned Trump. You think it's time to move on, to not talk about this anymore? These are serious allegations. And the truth will be found one way or another. But let us not just forget about it and let them move on to something else. That's what they want. They want it an awful lot. And you have to ask yourself why that is. All right. Well, we are pretty much out of time. Well, we are going to be out of time pretty soon. So final thoughts?
There's a badminton game at 7:30.
Where?
In the student union.
I really don't think that's true, Kyle.
There's going to be concessions, licorice, and a contest.
No, I
have no announcements. Why are you asking me? There's going to be more snow. There's
a little bit. There's no need to panic.
Everything's canceled.
Yeah, panic about the State of the Union because, boy, the State of the Union. I'm about to go to war with Iran for no reason, just because. You remember, a couple of months ago, however long it was, when you and me, bombed Iran because this represents us. This is how people see us. And supposedly, their nuclear capability was completely destroyed for all time. And now, all of a sudden, no, it's back again. And they could have a nuclear device by Monday or something crazy like that, and we have to bomb them yet again. Trump is out of his mind. He's attacking countries left and right, friend or foe, or countries we've never even heard of before. He's trying to distract from important things.
That's for sure. I mean, Congress has to exercise their power. Now the Supreme Court has at least shown some backbone. Congress is really delayed and late in standing up and exercising their power as a co-equal branch of government, and they need to let him know that this stuff is really consequential for him to mess up. If they give him just a pass to do whatever he wants. And I have a feeling they're taking a look at this. I mean, that's the most powerful thing people could do, is leverage and put pressure on politicians to stop worrying about the next election or how they're going to retire or whatever. Like, the urgency of acting and really representing the voice and the disdain of people across this country who are about fed up. And yeah, we'll have to go and fight and be in harm's way, are on those ships now, you know, their families, their communities. So yeah, we can't forget one another.
All right. Well, State of the Union begins at 9 o'clock. Pick whatever network you want, or radio, you know. I don't think we're broadcasting it, but there are other stations that are. And pay attention and write to us, otw@2600.com, here at Off the Wall. Keep listening to USB, of course, for all kinds of amazing content. I want to go out with a snow-related song, or at least a winter-related song. This is one of my favorite artists from the 1980s. I remember playing this back in the early days of USB. Her name is Debbie McClatchy, and she's a folk singer who put out some really incredible content, a lot of it poems from, I believe, Robert Service. And this one is the Ballad of Blasphemous Bill. It's about this guy that entered into a contract with the singer to basically bury him when he dies, no matter what the situation. And this particular situation involves being frozen somewhere in the tundra up north. She has to track him down and basically make him fit into a casket, which is no small task. We have to go to vinyl for this, but you know what? It's worth it. Debbie McClatchy here on Off the Wall. Say goodnight, Kyle.
Good night. Yay, Schnee.
All right. We'll see you next time. Good night.
I took a contract to bury the body of Blasphemous Bill because whenever, wherever, or whatsoever, in the manner of death he died. Oh, whether he died in the light of day or under the peak-faced moon, in cabin or dance hall, camp or dive, but Lux or patent shoon, on velvet tundra or virgin peak, by glacier drift or draw, in musky hollow or canyon gloom, by avalanche, fang or claw, by battle, murder, a sudden wealth, by pestilence, hooch or lead, I swore on the book I would travel and look till I found my tombless dead. Years passed away, and at last one day came a squall with a story strange of a long deserted line of traps way back up the Bighorn Range, and a little hut by the Great Divide, and a white man stiff and still, lying there by his lonesome self, I figured it must be Bill. So I thought of a contract I made with him, and I took it down from the shelf, and a swell black box with a silver plate that he picked out for himself, and I filled it full of hooch and grub, and I slung it on the sleigh, and I harnessed up my teams of dogs, and was off at the dawn of day. You know what it's like in the Yukon wild, when it's 69 below, when the ice worms wiggle their purple heads through the crust of the pale blue snow, where the pine trees crackle like little guns in the silence of the woods, and the icicles hang down like tusks under the parka hood. Oh, it was north by north through a land of curse, shunned by the scoring brew, and all I heard was my own harsh word and the whine of the Malibu, till at last I came to a cabin squat built in the side of a hill, and I burst in the door, and there on the floor, frozen to death, lay Bill. Have you ever stood in an Arctic hut in the shadow of the pole, with a little coffin 6x3 and a grief you can't control? Have you ever looked at a frozen corpse that looks at you with a grin? That seems to say you may try all day, but you'll never shove me in. For he was hard as a log and truss like a frog, with his arms and legs outspread. I looked at the coffin I brought for him, and I looked at the gruesome dead. Then I rose and kicked off the husky dog that was nosing round about, and I lit a roaring fire and stove, and it started to thaw Bill out. Well, I thought and thought for 13 days, but it didn't do no good. His arms and legs stuck out like pegs, as if they was made of wood. Till at last I said, well, it ain't no use, he's froze too hard to thaw. He's obstinate and he won't lie straight, so I guess I got to saw. saw, so I thought up for Bill's arms and legs, and I laid him neat and straight in the little coffin that he picked for himself with the dinky silver plate. And I came nigh near to shedding a tear as I laid him safely down, and I sewed him away in my Yukon sleigh, and I headed back. So I buried him, as the contract said, in a narrow grave indeed. And there he's waiting the gray clean up when the judgment sluice heads sweep. And I smoke my pipe and I meditate in the light of the midnight sun. And I sometimes wonder if they was these awful things I've done. And as I sit and the parson talks, he's expounding on the law, I often think of poor old Bill and how hard he was to saw.